the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you are on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
It's the week of June 13th, if you're tuning in the U.S. In the central time zone, it's now 5 o'clock p.m. First let me get the disclaimers out of the way. In addition to the KSEV not being responsible for this content, I guess I kind of am, but I want to point out that I don't become your CPA, or MP Ross CPAs doesn't become your CPA. We don't become your accountant, tax advisor, or other professional advisor. Just because you listen to this radio program, you hear us on a podcast, you visit our websites, you send us a contact us request, or you find us any other manner. Hopefully you currently have a tax advisor of some sort that understands your specific facts and circumstances, and that's who you would ask questions of, or you'll go to my website at BA Planner, spelled out BEAPLANNER.com, and complete our intake forms where I will know enough about you and we'll be happy to entertain some cursory off-the-cuff type questions on a phone call, which you can schedule there on the site as well. There's a schedule a call link right next to the intake form link, and that will get you access to myself for a phone call. We'll do a 30-minute introductory call, and then if you like what you hear and we feel like you're a prospect for our services, we can take it past that. And in fact, the single most common reason people connect with us is to explore the 401 trust concept that we deploy for many of our clients. If you have IRA money or 401k money or 457b money or 403b or 457, and you're looking to achieve higher than average rates of return, you may want to consider real estate. That's what we focus on, is helping people deploy their retirement funds where they control the funds. They don't need permission from a custodian, or they don't need permission from an administrator at their big company, quote-unquote, 401k plan, where you really can't invest in real estate private partnerships or syndications. REPs is what I call them, REPPS, which is probably one of the best, if not the best, asset classes that you would want to be able to control your money to invest in. Your employer's 401k plan might allow you to invest in a REIT, a real estate investment trust, which is in most cases like a publicly traded stock in a way. Obviously there's differences, but just suffice it to say, you won't know the people running the transaction. You'll have no control over how you invest per se. I mean, you won't do it directly, whereas with the real estate private partnerships or placements, you will invest directly with that syndicator. You'll typically have the ability to walk the property and engage one-on-one as you're thinking about investing. And of course, you'll have documents to review in advance to decide whether or not it's something you want to invest in. And that's what we help our clients in large measure do, is undertake a review of those documents, understand, you know, in all cases what you're signing up for. And we'll come back to this concept. I've actually got a private placement memorandum up here in front of me, and I think today we're going to make it to that part of the show where I can spend a little time discussing that. Let's see what else. I've got a couple of emails that I wanted to go over that came in, I guess, last week or two. Oh, by the way, if you would like to ask questions of me today, you're welcome to call 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV, and our producer will let me know we've got a caller, and I'll try to get to you. And pretty much anything is okay to call in about. I love it when it's directly about 401s, IRAs, or Roth. IRAs or Roth 401s, and hopefully we'll discuss a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about Roth conversions in the context of a private placement, and I hope to be able to do that here later today. I want to say, too, the way that I and my firm operate, we describe ourselves as planners versus reporters. We like reporters, the guys that can fill your tax return out and let the IRS know what you did last year. That's fine and dandy. We hope you have a good one that we can work with. If you don't, we'll consider undertaking a reporter role as well. But that's a commodity service. Many people can prepare your tax return. Very few are going to offer you planning services to affect next year and even 5, 10, 30 years down the road as assorted strategies that we offer will do. So we're looking to help you going forward either save tax or create wealth or both, which is usually the case. And we're really not as concerned about the reporter role, although we'll do that if we need to. Let's see. I tell you what, it's we've got just a couple minutes. I guess I want to introduce the concept of, or go back to the private syndications, and I want folks to understand that a private real estate partnership investing in multifamily apartments is what most of our clients choose to execute. And, you know, before you think, well, gee, I don't know anything about apartments, or I don't understand why that would be such a great space, let me just suggest to you that there are assorted, what I call real estate investor platforms that you can join that will give you some education. We can help educate you as well. And by understanding that asset space, you'll understand why, if you're behind on your retirement savings or not, let's say you're not behind, but you want to generate more than the average stock market type gains without some of the excitement. You know, we all like surprises, but, you know, just on our birthday, I believe is how the expression goes. And with the market, we get them every other day, and you know, it almost paralyzes you in terms of knowing when to invest and when to set on the sideline. And I don't know too many lay people that actually get it right. Even the professionals, I don't know too many of those that get it right. And so, you know, the thing we like about real estate, specifically apartments, multifamily, is that there's, for the most part, a consistent upward trajectory on values, and there's not rapid, you know, frequent swings up and down. It's more of a consistent, methodical march upward. We do have downturns in the market, obviously, from time to time. The mid-80s was one. The 2008-09 time that would otherwise referred to as the debt malaise, that happened. And guess what? People still made money, just like in the stock market, by the way. I mean, I think most people that talk about the stock market do so in a negative sense at times when they talk about the frequent swings. That said, if you understand how to project and predict, and you're actually able to do that, which, again, I don't know many people that do, the activity is what creates the opportunity to make money. Well, it's similar in apartments. I've got clients that make more money when the market drops than they do when it goes up, and so they make money when it goes up as well. But being prepared, being educated, having funds available, There's a way to make even more money by investing in apartments. And that's what we help people do, again, with the retirement money. And I know that's probably a foreign concept to those that are listening, unless you happen to be one of our clients or you happen to be a member of one of the local real estate investor platforms, which if you are, congratulations. Hopefully you haven't, quote, ripped the Band-Aid off, end quote, and taking your retirement money out so you could invest in real estate. We'll show you how to do that without paying the 30% on up level of taxes and learn how to invest all of your money instead of just a fraction of it. You know, I listen to people talk about financial freedom, and I wholeheartedly agree real estate will provide that, but how about we get twice as much financial freedom by not sending a check to the IRS before you ever get started, and we keep the money and invest all of it? I hear the music coming here for the first break, so I'm going to remind you to ask a question. You can call in 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy, cause when you worry your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down, so don't worry, be happy. Don't
okay,
worry.
Welcome back
happy
to
now.
The Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross. Yes, we want you to be happy. We do want you to worry a little bit, though, so you can hopefully you can take action and not have a reason to worry. And I heard a quote on a real estate radio show earlier today, right before mine, that I really like. It's a Zig Ziglar quote, and if you were listening 30 minutes ago, you probably heard it, but it's one I've heard many times, and it reminded me, I don't refer to it enough, but Zig Ziglar once said, "You are a success when you have made friends with your past, are focused on the present, and are optimistic about your future." And I'm going to suggest optimistic about your future is probably the sweet spot. And when you look at what you're able to do in terms of taking control of your money, investing in real estate and getting returns that will allow you to, I don't like the word retire. Let's just say, as Marvin Zindler used to say, it'll let you do whatever makes you happy. And by that, we refer to the concept of if you didn't have to go do what you do today or yesterday, tomorrow morning, or let's call it Monday morning in this case, what would you go do? And that's what real estate will allow you to focus on. And I've watched many people over my 36 years as an accountant retire, and the ones that go fishing and golfing every day are usually not the happiest ones. The ones that are happiest are people that are doing something, and in some cases they call their old employer back up and say, "Hey, you know, I really figured out that I like doing what I was doing. What kind of role can you carve out for me so I can still get satisfaction and obviously the income stream doesn't hurt. But anyway, okay, we were just introducing the concept of private placements before the break. I've got a private placement memorandum up in front of me, and I guess for those of you that have wondered, you've probably heard the term PPM. That stands for Private Placement Memorandum, and that document is what tells the story of each investment. And, you know, as far as the SEC goes, it's a legal disclosure document, or State of Texas Securities Board. They would use the same tools. And there is a guide number 5 for real estate securities offerings, such as the REPs that I refer to, that mandates certain items be disclosed in that agreement. And the reason I'm bringing this up now, we're going to start looking at these from week to week, is all of them are, you know, the same, quote unquote, but they're not the same. And there are risks involved that I think if you look at this for the first time, let's say you actually join a real estate investor platform and you do the training, whatever that consists of, or let's say you don't join an investor platform. You can invest in these transactions without being a member of any platform. That said, I'll give you a lot of reasons why you are more than make your money back or save significantly more by not making mistakes that I've watched many, many folks make that didn't have the benefit of a like-minded group with mentors they can call and ask questions to. And they're usually different kind of questions than you're going to call and ask your accountant, but they may be the same kind of questions. I've got clients that connect with me about things that at times I think, you know, they should be asking their mentor at the investor platforms these questions. And in reality, they are. It's just sometimes they like to hear it from two sources. And, of course, I tend to be less emotional about my answers. I tend to analyze the math involved. I look at a number of things within these private placements that tell me whether or not it might meet your objectives based on me understanding what those are. And of course, everybody's a little bit different. And there's certain things that pique my curiosity, and I get, you know, answers to before we discuss those issues. And I want to know at all times that you understand what you're signing up for. And most of the time, my clients do not have that level of understanding about how to read these documents. I was involved earlier, you know, say the last 10 years ago or 15 years ago, in drafting the partnership operating agreements for these types of transactions. It did over $500 million worth of projects. I know where the snakes are, and I know where the disclosure should be, and I can help you understand what those are. And then by the time you're looking at your 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th deal, you're already way ahead of the curve, and our conversations get shorter and less frequent because you're able to understand these on your own. But in any event, the private placement memorandum, again, it tells the story about what you're getting ready to embark on if you sign up. It describes things like the structure of the company that you're going to be a part of, an owner in, the projected returns to the investors, and compensation to the manager. And that's a big one. Let's hold that thought. I'll come back to that. It also describes the risk of investing, the potential conflicts of interest in this investment. In other words, is the syndicator or lead partner, is he or she going to be working on their next transaction while they're still in the throes of this transaction? Most of them will be, so they're going to explain that to you. And then there's other things involving a summary of how the company will be operated and assorted other policies. You know, what are we going to do once we qualify to refinance? Are we going to refinance? Are we going to sell? And, of course, you're getting numerical data alongside this information out of the PPM to allow you to understand where this is headed and what the projection is. It's pro forma information. Nobody's done anything yet. The property hadn't been acquired. Usually a property will have been identified, although sometimes or some points we see private placement memorandums that are of the nature of a fund where specific properties haven't been identified, but the types of properties will be mentioned as to, you know, this is what we're going to go after. So, you know, if you like that style, you can send your money to the syndicator, and then they're ready to go quickly once they find a property that meets the criteria. I'm not a fan of that structure. I have clients that are, and I'll just tell you, I like seeing the actual metrics on the property that the current offer is going to be made on, but that's your call. Some people find that to be a better way to invest. And then also, in addition to the private placement memorandum, you're going to have what I mentioned earlier, the partnership agreement, company agreement, operating agreement. It's a term that's used synonymously, and that's going to describe it's effectively the governing document, the Bible, if you will, for this partnership, and it describes your rights and obligations and duties, just like it does the lead partner or syndicator, you know, how voting and meetings and voting will be conducted, when cash distributions will be made, etc. It is a contractual enforceable agreement between the members and the company. And, you know, I mention this because I think now you're beginning to understand perhaps the differences between a stock market investment where you don't know any of your cohorts, you don't know the guy running the company. I mean, you may have heard of Warren Buffett, you may see him on the news, the videos, etc. You will never have lunch with Warren Buffett, okay? And that may or may not be a surprise to you. But bottom line is, with the private partnerships, you actually will come to understand and know, typically, if you want to, and again, some people don't, but you have that ability to communicate directly with the syndicator or the lead partner that's putting the transaction together. Big, big difference. But in any event, I wanted to, and we're going to hit a break here again, but I want to introduce the concept of what are the risks that we have to acknowledge and disclose in private real estate partnerships. And I'm going to tell you, there's a huge, it's not just that there's a risk here. As with everything in life, there's an opportunity with most risk. And it's by understanding how to evaluate a risk, understanding what the opportunity is, that hopefully some light bulbs will come on for you in the context of retirement funds being invested in these transactions that I'm willing to bet you didn't know about or you hadn't considered. In fact, I don't think most accountants understand, and it's only because this is what we do daily that we understand this opportunity, which as of late is front and center in the financial and the tax news. And so we'll get into that when we come back. But I want to just introduce the concept of some of the risk. Well, I hear the music now, so I tell you what, rather than get started, let's come back to this after the break. And again, if you want to contact me, you can either call into the station today at 281-558-5738, or you're welcome to email nathan@npross.com, or you're welcome to do a contact us on our website. Any topic is a fair game. I'll tell you if it's something I can't address until you're a client, and you'll have that opportunity at some point perhaps. Okay, we'll come back after the break, and we're going to pick up with the risk factors involved with private real estate partnership syndications.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner song with Nathan Ross. And we are talking this week about private syndications and retirement money. Again, we do that every week because it's so critical now. And as you know, the Neil Diamond song that we came back to on break, in my estimation, no offense to Steve Goodman, who wrote, you may know, the song "You Never Even Called Me By My Name," and you know, he referred to it as the perfect country western song. Well, Neil Diamond's "Nothing But a Heartache" is absolutely the perfect retirement planning or financial planning song. And if you haven't experienced the traditional financial planner advice, which in some cases works out fine, it doesn't for many people, or at least many of our clients that have found us later after they got interest in real estate. Neil Diamond's song, if you listen to that all the way through, I like the part at the beginning. It's roughly at the 1 minute, 9 second mark. You know, not that anybody's paying attention, right? I don't know how I knew that, but bottom line is, getting by ain't living. And, that's a common theme we see. If you've given away 30 or 40% of your retirement funds because you in good faith acted on bad advice, we're still going to help you, but you got to understand you're not going to retire in 5 years if you do that, which is what the mantra is, and that you hear from other real estate platforms and gurus. And I'm not saying some people won't. What I'm saying is you won't, unless you're going to lead transactions and participate in the lead partner, the lead partner overrides. Or you happen to have more than $1 million to get started with and you define retirement as a fairly low number, okay, in that case you may hit 5 years. And I was just looking at this for one of my existing clients, and in her case she had a significant number to start with. And by using the self-directed 401 trust that we deploy, she will get to retirement in 5 years. But again, that's starting off with a significant amount of money, more than the average $250,000 to $300,000 that a lot of our clients come to us with, and they're in their mid to late 50s. And if you're in your mid to late 50s and you've got, you know, $250,000 to $300,000 or $400,000 in retirement money, you're behind the eight ball. And you may not realize it, but, you know, the old $1 million necessary to retire is now $2 million, could be higher depending on whether you're one of the 50% of American couples that will spend upwards of $880,000+ on health care in retirement. And that would usually include long-term health care cost or chronic illness. And it doesn't take long at all to spend down your family's wealth, which is a mandate under the Medicare rules to be able to get coverage. But in any event, back to the risks that we were starting to discuss with private placements. And by the way, you've got a lot of these same risks every time you buy a stock, a mutual fund, an index fund. You may not think that, or you may not realize that. Just watch the market news every day and tell me you don't have significant other risk than the ones that I'm getting ready to mention. But let's just go down the list, and I'm going to show you the opportunity that exists here. This is the risk side of the equation, and then I'm going to discuss the opportunity. And I think you'll understand why we like syndicated real estate investments. First of all, you're going to be investing generally in a company that has no track record. In other words, this company is being formed for the sole purpose of going and acquiring an apartment asset. So, you know, the success of the company hasn't been proven because it hasn't owned anything, it hasn't existed. And as a result, you're depending on a manager. Okay, in a stock market transaction, you're depending on a number of people that you'll never meet. And yes, they're probably professionals. That doesn't mean everything goes up. It doesn't mean it goes down. But it's a different model than investing with another party, usually a manager or syndicator, to go get that apartment building. You're going to have lack of control. When you put $50,000 to $100,000, which is usually the start point on most of these investments, into that transaction, you might own 1.2%. Not a big percentage. You certainly don't control anything, and you may not even have voting rights, or they're more likely the voting rights will be limited. You'll get to vote on major topics, like should we sell, those kind of topics, okay? And so, you know, you don't invest your money in one of these transactions thinking that you're going to ride shotgun with the lead partner. You won't be consulted. You won't be asked, should we turn left, turn right? Should we hire that next maintenance guy? No. That's what you've engaged the team, the management team for. They handle that. You don't have to get out of bed in the morning and go run that apartment building or the team that's involved in managing it. That's what they do. And they do get compensated for that. Normally, there's a 3% property management fee out of gross rents. There's a 2% asset management fee. These are very standard amounts in the industry, and those fees are well within the bounds of the cost of actually running those units. You know, the lead partner is not the guy that's going out there to mow the yard or to clean the swimming pool or to lease empty units. You know, he or she engages a team of people to do that, and that's good for you because, you know, a lead partner is very busy doing many other things with respect to managing the partnership and the asset, looking at, you know, perhaps when we can refinance, managing a rehab budget if the property was going to be rehabbed after it was acquired, et cetera. You've got additional risk. I'm just going to keep going down the list. And by the way, I've got a list of, I don't know, 50 of them here. We're not going to go through 50, but I just want you to understand the flavor of what has to be disclosed in this investment. And you will not see this when you go buy shares of Exxon, but trust me, you got most of these same risk. After lack of control, we've got limited transferability or liquidity of interest, meaning you can't just walk next door to your neighbor's house and tell your neighbor about this investment and say, you know what, I really could use some of my money back. I've got some bills coming in I hadn't anticipated. How about you buy a piece of my interest? No, cannot do that. Not allowable under the SEC rules, number one, and it won't be allowable under your partnership agreement. Again, the Bible, the operations manual for this investment that you'll execute. Lack of capital could inhibit meeting company objectives. If our rehab budget wasn't adequate, is it possible that we might have to use some of the reserves? It's possible, and worst case would be you ran into something that really was a major issue, where you might have a cash call, meaning you get a request to put more money into the deal, which that's a possibility. It's not every transaction, certainly, but it has happened. I've seen it more than a couple times. And you don't necessarily have to do it, but your interest will reflect whether you did or not, meaning you'll be diluted a bit if you choose not to. We have a risk of not receiving any distributable cash from operations. That's always a risk. If you can't get the property functioning to the level that you intended when you bought it, meaning you've gotten your rehab done, you get the rents up, you got people in those units, and now operations are where you projected, but for whatever reason, you don't have more positive rental income than you have expenses, including the intangible expenses such as depreciation, which doesn't involve the partnership writing a check to anybody. That's usually what creates significant amounts of distributable cash. You have a risk of not receiving a complete return of your capital that you invested at the time of disposition. Guess what? You got that on the Exxon stock too. Very similar concept. The market might not go up as we project, so we've put our money into this property and we can't sell it for more than we have in it. That happens. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. Lack of diversification. This investment is an apartment building. There's no way to really diversify an individual property, and that's what you own in this company and in this investment. So you choose your properties carefully. Obviously, if you're the syndicator, you're going to choose carefully because you want to make sure you can deliver for your passive investors. And then you as a passive will have chances to invest in assorted projects, whether it's a property in Houston or Dallas or San Antonio, perhaps, if you're going to focus in the Texas syndication market, which is one of the best in the country, I would suggest. You also have a difference between a class A, B, C, D, C plus, C minus, B minus. All those properties represent different levels of risk and different levels of opportunities, and that's part of what you'll learn about when you join the Investor Mentor platform that you may not pick up on your own, or perhaps, if you work with us, we will certainly make sure you're aware, because the resulting outputs can be markedly different depending on what you're dealing with. And you're probably going to be surprised to learn that where you really make your money is on the Class C, C minus type property that you can buy in a not beautiful state and spend money on it to make it beautiful and get the rents up, and that's the highest return possibility when you refinance or sell. There's also other factors related to the property itself. Due diligence may not uncover all the material facts. When you're looking at a 300-unit apartment building, there's very little chance you're going to find everything, or you're doing due diligence on the background of the property, any type of outstanding issues. That's a risk that we face in every case, and we have ways of dealing with that. The financial projections may be wrong. Seen that more than a few times. Usually they're wrong on the low side. We're very happy with most of the things we find that are wrong, but it could go the other way, so that's another thing that you have to consider. You may have risks related to leveraging the property in terms of how much you ultimately can borrow, which you may not know when you invest your money. It may be a situation with the lead partner or syndicator still trying to get the debt on the property. And then, of course, we've got all sort of regional, state, local economic conditions that might affect the property. In general, just owning real estate has risk. Uninsured and underinsured losses, availability of insurance, liability for environmental issues. Title insurance may not cover all the title defects, etc. And these are issues that you have on the home you live in. You may not realize it when you go to closing, but trust me, it's real estate. You've got the risk, even if it's kind of benign beneath the surface. With respect to taxes, which is something I like to look at in these offerings, of course, I could almost memorize the boilerplate language. The lead partner is not going to go get an IRS tax ruling that says this project or this activity will qualify to be a partnership. We understand where the bounds are, the parameters. It will. We may have a tax liability that's higher than the distributions that we get out of this entity. Most people that have never invested in a partnership tend to be, I don't want to use the word shocked, it could be a shock, but let's just say it's a surprise when they get the K-1 form every year that tells them what their share of the partnership activity is that they'll report on their return, meaning that a partnership is a flow-through activity, and the numbers that get reported are reported at the partnership level and then come through to your tax return. So, what you get reported is your share of whatever the rents exceed the expenses for. It's not what got transferred to your bank account, and that surprises people. That's not just real estate. That's Yeah, that could be a lemonade stand. If you partner with your neighbor on a lemonade stand, you might find that you didn't get any distributions this year, but the partnership had taxable activity, meaning maybe you made a debt payment that exceeded cash flow, or that was right at cash flow, so that there wasn't any money to disperse to the partners. So that's a big one. There's assorted other tax issues, but you know, we accept it with real estate. We're limited on the amount of loss we can claim if we're a passive member, etc. I hear the music coming for the break. We will pick up with these risks and some other issues when we come back. Again, questions, give me a call, 281-558-5738.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV. Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we've been talking about some of the risk factors related to investing in real estate private placements or syndications, specifically involving apartment buildings, which we think is one of the better spaces to have your money in as you march towards retirement, perhaps. And, of course, retirement doesn't necessarily mean you quit being productive, but it does mean you go do what you would rather do than go to a job if that's what you'd rather do. We've just gone through assorted risk factors, got down to the tax situation or tax reporting, and now I want to mention a couple of opportunities. And I've got an email that I wanted to read. I'll leave the person that sent this name out of the discussion. No need for the name, but it's the concept that I want to hone in on. And I got an email that says, "Hello, I listened to your show on Saturday, and you discussed investing with IRAs. I joined a local real estate group 3 months ago, and I go to the meetings, and I learned about investing with an IRA, so I opened an account with XYZ Trust Company, which is a custodian, so I can invest with a SDIRA, which stands for self-directed. As a busy professional, this has made it very easy to get into multifamily syndications. Three so far. I'm passive in deals with A, B, and C, and I know all of them. I've had other clients join. And the question is, since these are in LLCs, not that it would matter, for this question, will these investments trigger the UDFI tax and be subject to the UBIT tax? Some acronyms that you likely don't know what those mean, and I'm not going to get into the weeds. I'm just going to tell you, investing with an IRA with leveraged real estate will incur a tax, and the IRA will pay that tax. So it's an added layer of tax before you get to pay the tax on the money you take out. And it's the reason why we don't use IRAs with our clients unless we have no choice. If you've got an inherited IRA or you've got a Roth IRA, IRA now, not a Roth 401, you will pay. Well, first of all, you cannot row those funds over into the 401 trust. So you kind of got handcuffs on. And moreover, you will, or the IRA will pay that UDFI tax. Think of it as a leverage tax. If there's leverage involved, if you were to pay all cash for a property, which you will never do if you're a real estate investor, that's not how we make money in real estate. We make money off the other piece, the 80% piece that a lender is willing to put into the pot for a, I don't know, 3.5 to 5% rate of return. They're happy with that. Well, who gets the rest of the profit related to the 80% chunk? Well, that's you, or in this case, your IRA. In any event, avoiding that tax is something that we absolutely can do. And I think I've got my response here. Let's see. Yes, investment by your IRA in leveraged real estate held directly or indirectly via the IRA's ownership of an LLC member interest, wherein the LLC incurs the debt, that triggers the UDFI component of the UBIT tax. In any year that the investment has net positive taxable income or gains, not cash flow, but actual reportable gains come out to you on a K-1 or come out to your IRA on a K-1, and you will pay that. And then I go on to mention that the self-directed 401 trust is exempt from this tax under code section 514C9 little c Roman numeral 2 or II for passive rental income activity. You should consider a rollover to the self-directed 401 trust if you are eligible, and they likely are unless that happens to be an inherited IRA. You can roll your funds over and totally sidestep the UDFI tax. So that's something we work with clients on, and as I mention here, if this gentleman will fill out our intake forms, I'll be happy to assess the hard near-term benefits of that strategy. And it's somewhat easy to do if you've done it a lot. Speaking of the IRAs and the Roth concept and the UDFI tax, understand that a Roth IRA, even though most people have the notion that, you know, once you've undertaken a Roth, there's no tax possibilities, you're tax-free, that is not the case when it comes to private real estate partnerships or syndications or any real estate wherein you've got a loan on that property. So if your Roth IRA invests in a real estate private partnership or syndication, or your Roth IRA goes and buys a piece of real estate directly, and we do have lenders that will loan to the IRA, which is required. You can't go borrow money for your IRA to buy a home. You can borrow money as the IRA from those types of lenders. There's not a lot of them, but there's enough of them for you to have a few choices. And of course, the terms aren't as competitive as the mainstream lenders will be if you were doing this outside your IRA. However, I mentioned earlier the Roth 401 or the 401 Roth. And that 401 is part of every self-directed 401 trust that we adopt in our client's case. And the Roth 401 or 401 Roth, however you want to refer to it, I see it both ways, is not subject to the UDFI tax. So there's your first opportunity, okay? And you may say, well, gee, Nathan, I've just got pre-tax money at my employer's plan, so let's assume you can get to it, which you might not be able to, you will think, and you may not, but we do have an option for you that we will be able to get access to those funds. If you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, first of all, thank the good Lord that you're living in the great state of Texas, and then secondly, there is a way that your plan administrator will not share with you because they don't understand it, that we can have you take control of your money. But what I want to tie together here is that if, let's say you've got $500,000 in a pre-tax 401 plan that we can get out to the trust tax-free, no penalty, and you say, well, gee, what about that Roth conversion? Can I still do that? And the answer is absolutely. And let me explain the concept to you that is something that most people don't have an understanding of at all, because most people don't even know there's a Roth 401. Let's assume that you had $100,000 sitting in Bank of America, as an example. Had it in your money market account. And I ask you, well, gee, what do you think that money's worth? And I it's not a trick question. I understand with inflation, you might say it's worth $92,000 now. It's $100,000 a month ago. And you're right, by the way. It may be in that, may be that extreme. I'm not sure what the real number is. But bottom line is, you could take your money, $100,000 out, and go buy $100,000 of goods and services. Once you invest in a private real estate partnership, your money is no longer worth $100,000. And you're going to say, what? Well, why would I want to invest in those? Well, let's go back over the list of risks that I just shared with you and understand that when you invest in a private company, and then you, if you were to seek a valuation of your ownership, there's going to be assorted discounts associated with every one of those issues that I went down the list on. And I mean big ones. So lack of marketability. 15 to 25%. Lack of majority control, another 15 to 25%, and so on. So your $100,000 just became 30 or 40 for purposes of the moment in time that we calculate that. Now let's talk about the Roth conversion. Might you want to convert your money after you've taken the step to invest in private placements as opposed to when your money's sitting in Bank of America? Why would you say that, Nathan? Well, the issue is you would convert based on a value of 30 to 40% of whatever the number was when it was in your Bank of America account. Big difference in the amount of tax that gets paid to the IRS on the conversion. And this is a point that you won't hear discussed because most accountants that you might work with don't understand how the conversion process works once you get into the weeds of private real estate partnerships. They get it when it's sitting in Exxon stock in the stock market. And by the way, $100,000 in Exxon is more nearly worth $100,000. If you convert your account at that moment, you're going to pay tax on $100,000 versus a significant discount that exists because of the way private transactions are valued. That's huge. We'll pick up on this next week. That's the end of the show, or the music's coming here. I want to, as every week, I really enjoy getting into these discussions. I feel like I'm the lone voice in the wilderness on occasion. That's okay. You need that lone voice if you're going to jump into these investments. Lots of opportunities, but boy, it's anything but conventional if you're used to investing in the market. We'll look forward to next week. We hope you enjoy today's show. Again, baplanner.com if you would like to get more information. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.